seated, please. We're privileged to have with us in our chapel service this morning, conducting our service for us, two visitors, Mr. Delane Riles, who is Minister of Church Extension of the Metropolitan New York Baptist Association, and Mr. Quentin Lockwood, who is Associate Director of the Department of Church Extension, the Home Mission Board of our convention. In a moment, Mr. Riles is going to lead us in prayer, and then after the singing of the anthem, Mr. Lockwood will lead us by way of a devotional service. These gentlemen are on our campus to interview students with regard to what we call here the practicum in home missions, and which they call a field seminar, in which the Home Mission Board and our seminary is cooperating for a 12-week practical experience in missions. Mrs. Wren at the Field Education Office is scheduling interviews for those who wish to confer with Mr. Lockwood and Mr. Riles about this summer program, and I think Mr. Lockwood is going to have a bit to say about it before he brings the devotional message in a little bit. I'm pleased then to present these gentlemen, Mr. Riles and Mr. Lockwood, both of whom have in various ways had fine relationships with us at Southeastern Seminary in the past. Mr. Riles will lead us now in our prayer.
Let us bow in prayer for one another. Our Father, we give you thanks that we have this moment to especially focus on your presence. Make us sense your guidance of our lives. Accept our confession of our sins. Remind us of your forgiveness. And show us your new way for us for this day. I thank you for this place and for this fellowship of training. Would you be ministering to every person here? Minister to them and their needs. And show each of them the ministry that you have for them. Dear Father, we thank you that you love us, and in Jesus Christ you call us to follow you. Sometimes I know that I don't follow you as faithfully as you would have me to be, but I ask you for strength for myself and for others, and I ask for insight into the ways and directions in which you are leading. And I believe you call us to follow our Lord Jesus where the people are and among the cities and towns. Give us an effective ministry. Show us ways to share the good news, and may it take root in lives and change lives for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Oh, you, Dr. Copeland. It is indeed a real pleasure for me to be here with you, this being my first experience of ever having to speak in a seminary chapel, having attended and suffered through many chapel meetings down through the years. I've often wondered, what would I do were I come to a place like this, you know, when I sat out there? I always felt like when I was in seminary that one of the things they forgot to put in the new chapel they built while I was there was a hot plate to warm over old sermons, because I always felt oftentimes that was what I was getting. So I'm not going to warm over an old sermon. I'm going to do what I think I do best, and that's talk about some things that I'm interested in, and because I'm interested in them, that I can be enthusiastic about them, and maybe it'll have some meaning for you. I find myself a great deal like the mountaineer that worked for my father one time. He came to Dad and he said to him, he said, you know, I got just as much smart as anybody, but it comes to me too slow to do me any good. And I find myself sometimes in a situation sort of like that, that it comes a little slow, and so I'm not going to try to be erudite or any of those things. I want to talk to you about the thing that I'm involved in and some things that I think are out ahead as far as Southern Baptists, and they're particularly in the Department of Church Extension. Now, in case you're wondering what Church Extension is, it is the successor to the old Pioneer Missions Department, which had the responsibility for leading the convention into the newer areas of the convention, but also has now been given the added responsibility of leading our convention in a program of starting new churches. We start over 300 new churches a year, but unfortunately we're losing about 200 churches. We may soon have to create a department of closing churches or killing churches or something like that. And so when people look at the record and they say Southern Baptists aren't doing very good because they only look at the net gain, we're not responsible for the churches in the city that are closing their doors and moving out, or those that are merging with others, or those that are leaving the convention, or those that fail to send in their reports and therefore do not get counted. But last year we started over 300 churches. We've been averaging close to that for the last 10 years, actually running more than 300 per year. But we've also been losing at a rather high rate. We have to have 5 to gain 2 because of the things that I've just mentioned. But you know, at the Home Mission Board, when they run out of anything to do, they reorganize and give new names and titles. There was a time, you see, we had the Pioneer Missions Department, but it was a great deal like the people that I heard tell of who lived on a place called Snake Ridge. After a while, they decided Snake Ridge was not a very nice address, and they got a little weary of that, and so they had a meeting, and they met, and after much discussion, they changed the name from Snake Ridge to Reptile Heights. And so we have changed Pioneer Missions to the title, given it the title of Church Extension. I would like to say just one word about the program that we have this summer. We will have 8 students from here, we hope, who will be involved in our program in the metropolitan New York City area for 12 weeks. You'll be 11 weeks there and 1 week in orientation in Atlanta. This is a program to give you some practical experience in the matter of starting churches. This has been very successful. The year we tried it last summer, we have as a result of it some 4 or 5 new churches and chapels that we did not have. One of these is in Berwick, Pennsylvania. Another is in Springfield, Vermont. We had an unusual experience in Springfield, Vermont, because Vermonters are very slow to take to anybody. But when the summer was finished, we had a man and his wife there who worked all summer. And when they were through there, there were 17 professions of faith, nearly all of them adults. And at the present time, we have a chapel that's running 35 to 40 in attendance in that town that came as a direct result of 2 seminary students who gave 10 weeks last summer working there. The same is true at Berwick and several other places. This summer we're thinking of going to places like Albany, New York. Now I know that's not a metropolitan New York, but Albany is the state capital. It is perhaps the most influential state capital in the United States. And Southern Baptists have yet to penetrate that city. We have one church in Schenectady. The Albany, Schenectady, Troy area has a population of about 1 million people, and we have the one church. And we want to start something in Albany where we can have our witness in the state capital. Another in the metro New York is the Norwalk, Connecticut area. This is a rather nice area of Connecticut where a lot of commuters live who commute into New York City. Paterson, New Jersey, just across the river from Manhattan. Paterson is an area that we hope to get a church started in. We have one out in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, which is suburban country. One of the most interesting ones we're hoping to get into is Roosevelt Island, which is a new town. Now, in a sense, it's the old Welfare Island, which is in the middle of the East River. If you're familiar with that, they have completely demolished most of the old buildings. It had been a lot of institutions on it, and are rebuilding it into a sort of a new town in town, and we're hoping to be part of that, as well as across the river, right adjoining it would be Long Island City, where we hope to establish something there. All of these work has already been done, and we have a nucleus to begin with, and your task would be to begin there and to build from that. Hopefully that at the end of your 11 weeks labor there, there would be an ongoing body of believers, either a strong Bible study fellowship or a mission chapel that could continue to minister after you've gone. Question comes to me again and again, what's out ahead for Southern Baptist and home missions? Where are we heading and what are we going to be doing? I cannot speak for the whole board. I can only speak for that which I know. Our department is going to be involved in the next few years in two major thrusts. One of them I have the responsibility of doing a good bit of the programming for, and the other I have a great deal of interest in. You know, sometimes you have to do some things you really don't want to do because that falls your lot, and you don't get to do some other things you really want to do. The convention is moving in, starting in 1976, to what we call a bold mission. And one of the things that we are aiming to do is to have some kind of a viable and real Southern Baptist witness in every one of the more than 700 counties in the United States in which there is not any kind of a Southern Baptist church, chapel, or ongoing witness. The first figures we had were there were 830 some of these counties, but we have found that our figures do not show where we have mission chapels. As an example, I was checking on to West Virginia, and 11 counties we had listed, we have chapels in those. We have ongoing missions in 11 of those. So that cuts it down to where there are only 19 in West Virginia where there is no Southern Baptist work. It goes on out until you get out into Nebraska and the Great Plains area and the Dakotas, where you're talking about 60, 70, 80 counties in each of those states in which we do not have any witness. One of the things that we're not going to be doing is trying to establish a church in every one of them. We recognize that that's almost an impossible task and an unnecessary task because they range from such places as Arthur County, Nebraska, Arthur County has a total population of 170. And about 100 of those live in the town of Arthur, which is the only town in the county. And the rest of them are out in it's ranching country. Arthur's only claim to fame that I know of is that it has a church house that's made out of hay. That's great hay country because it's great ranch country, and so they have took bales of hay and stacked them up and plastered them, and that's the church house. So that's its claim to fame. Now, our possibility of doing anything in Arthur County is very remote because there's already a Baptist church there. It's not one of ours. Our approach will be, if we do anything at all in Arthur County, will be to help that church to meet the need that it has there and to minister there. But then it ranges on to some other counties in the United States where there are several hundreds of thousands of people where there is no Baptist church. This is particularly, no Southern Baptist church. This is particularly true in the Northeast. We do not anticipate using a great deal of new personnel to accomplish this. Some of us in our wildest moments have dreamed of renting the Goodyear blimp, you know, the one that's got all the message signs on the bottom, and flying over, and then we could check them off as we flew, you know, sort of like the gospel blimp idea. But we would like to do something more meaningful than that and more real. We envision using a great number of summer student missionaries, using them to go into these counties to do something in a real way, to use the touring youth choir, to use the retired minister, to use existing personnel and these kind of people to meet the needs, to try to do something. We anticipate that we will get some chapels, we'll get some mission Sunday schools, we'll get some preaching points, we'll get some things going, and that we will also, I am sure, find some places where there is some tremendous human need that we intend to plug into and do something about. Now, the other thing that they haven't given me as an assignment, but is the thing that's nearest to my heart and has become a real concern, is that our department will be mounting a major thrust to the cities of the United States. To my knowledge, in the city, the church is not making it. Southern Baptists are not making it in the city. If it was not for the fact that in most cities there are black churches, there would be very little Baptist witness whatsoever. I am grateful for this, but Southern Baptists have yet to penetrate some of our great areas, and some of them where there is the greatest need. These things have become an increasing concern on my heart because I feel this is where the battle for the heart and the mind and the soul of man, and maybe even the battle for America, is going to be won or lost as far as Christianity is concerned. It's going to be in the major cities. I'm talking about the Detroits, the Chicagos, the Clevelands, the Pittsburghs, Philadelphia, New York City, Baltimore, Los Angeles, San Francisco. You know, there's so many cities of the nation where we have yet to plant a Southern Baptist church. We do not have one. We are around many of them. We don't have a church in Milwaukee. We don't have a church in Minneapolis. We don't have a church in Seattle. We don't have one in Tacoma. Now, we're out in the suburbs, but we're not in the city. And so it is that it is becoming an increasing concern on the part of some of us. Somehow we find a way that we can touch the heart of the city, for this is where the need is, and I am convinced and committed in my own heart to the fact that the gospel speaks to the need of the man who dwells within the city. And I think that somehow we must find a way. We're going to mount such a campaign, and we're going to focus our attention. It's going to take a great deal of personnel to do it, a great deal of funding. We have not found the funding, but the worst thing about it is we've not found the personnel. One of the disturbing things of this day is that not very many seminary graduates are interested in the city, particularly the hard cities. Let me talk about just two or three places where Southern Baptists are not, and which I hope we can go. Harper Magazine, Harper's a few months ago, did a survey of the worst cities in the United States. They rated cities by 25 categories. Such things as civic enterprise, number of hotel motel rooms, library, zoo, public parks, ratio of hospital rooms to population, ratio of doctors to population, crime, the hard crime statistics per thousand, and all of this, and rated on 25. Out of 50 of the major cities in the United States, when they rated them, the one city ranking at the dead last in 19 of these 25 categories and dead last out of 50 cities was the city of Newark, New Jersey. Newark proper has over 250,000 people. And there's probably no city in the United States that has any greater human need than the city of Newark. And yet Southern Baptists have not yet moved in there to say the gospel speaks to some of your need and Southern Baptists care about what you're doing and what your need is. It is my concern that somewhere we will find someone who is committed to such a place as Newark. I personally and very honestly could not say I don't know how we would begin. It will be up to the creativity, up to the ability of the person to do it. It'll take a person who must be willing to commit himself. It would take more commitment, I think, to go to New York City than most any other mission field of the world. I do believe. There is Camden, New Jersey, whose downtown section looks like a ghost town. It looks like somebody dropped a bomb on part of it. Major stores and businesses have moved out of the downtown section. The areas of where the row houses are, oftentimes you'll find every third or fifth one is either burned out or is empty. You find children in the streets. You see almost hanging over the place is a pall of despair. I went to Camden. I came back. I was in a deep depression for days simply because of what I had sensed and what I had felt. Saying, how can Southern Baptists speak to this? To show you how deep my depression was, I had a new neighbor moving in across the street. There was a house across the street from me that was just being finished, and he was working on his house. I came out one evening about 11 o'clock, and I saw a light out in his yard, and I went over there, and he was digging the ditch to get his sewer line in. And I said to him, I said, Frank, I said, I've heard of moonlighting, but this is ridiculous because there was a bright moon. This first time I'd ever seen it really happen, a man working by moonlight. And he said, well, where have you been? And I got to talking to him. He was interested in why, you know, what do you do and where have you been kind of thing. And he's from the north. He is a northern black who has moved south. And he's a lovely neighbor. As a matter of fact, you might be interested to know that my 15-year-old boy is the only white child in my community now. And anyway, Frank is a lovely person, and we were talking, and he said, where you been? And I said, well, I've been to Camden. And I began to tell him about Camden and what I'd sensed and what I'd felt. And Frank looked up at me. He was down in that ditch, and he was sweating, and he said, you know, the way you sound, he said, I just don't even know whether I want to climb up out of this ditch or not. I had transmitted my despair to him. And so it must become a burden to all of us. What are we looking for? We're looking for people who are willing to cast their lot with the city, to pay the price that it takes. We've got situations like Brooklyn, where we have 2.5 million people, and we're looking for a pastor for our one white church in Brooklyn. We have Worcester, Massachusetts, a town of 100,000. We've been without a pastor there in our inner city situation now since last summer, and not a very good prospect of finding anyone now. And so we're looking for people who will commit themselves to the city, for this is where it's going to be. As you examine where you're going and what God wants you to do, maybe you ought to ask, does God want me in the city? Oh God, our Father, we thank Thee for these moments of being together, and thank Thee for the calling that is ours in Christ Jesus, the calling to be ministers of the gospel, the calling to prepare, the calling to give ourselves unto Thee. We come, our Father, to thank Thee for these young people here, for preparing themselves to do what You have called them to do. Give them a clear understanding of the direction that You would have their lives, their ministry, to go. And we pray, our Father, that You would put upon our convention a deep burden for the multitudes of people in the city who live without hope, who live in constant fear, who live oftentimes with no one to care what happens to them. May it become such a burden that we will fund the things that are needed, but above all, our Father, wilt Thou raise up out of this generation those who will go to claim the city for Thee. Bless this seminary, its faculty, its students, in all that they do, thankful for everything that comes from Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.